Thank you, thank you. Well, you know, as I was pondering speaking this morning, I just kept thinking about it's been amazing the last couple of weeks, if you've been here, the way God has been showing up just in a very powerful way, hasn't he? And the presence of God has been so evident, and it's been lovely. And I was thinking about the faithfulness of God. A couple of weeks ago, all of our students on the school were learning to teach a sermon, some of them for the first time. And there was a couple of things that struck me about that. The first thing was none of them spontaneously combusted, which some of them thought might happen when they had to speak for the first time in their whole lives. So, you know, God's faithfulness was evident in the fact that all of them lived. And in fact, none of them passed out or vomited either. So those were all very good things. But it was interesting listening to all of their testimonies. The thing that, regardless of whether they were speaking on, you know, creativity or bitterroot judgments or whatever they were speaking on, the thing that kept getting highlighted to my heart was, wow, God, you're so faithful. That everybody has a testimony of his faithfulness. And I think sometimes we forget he's faithful when we're in the moments where we need to remember, right? But everybody has a testimony of his faithfulness. And I was just like, Lord, this is so, what a privilege to hear what you are doing and what you have done in people's lives. And to be honest, you know, God is still very much a mystery to me. On one level, I kind of hope he stays that way, right? I want to know more, and I don't know all about God yet, because I don't know that you can, really. He's so big, you know? So there's parts of how he works and parts of what he's like that are still a mystery, but the thing that I do know about him is that he's always faithful, that he's good, that he is who he says he is all of the time. And even when it feels like your life isn't lining up like that today, right? Because we all have our days where it's a little bit like, wow, I believe that, but I'm looking at this right now, and this feels huge. And you need to know God is not shaken when we're shaken, right? He's not like, well, if you can't believe, then, you know, I'm just going to back away. It's not that at all. He's like, I'll be right here. I don't take a step away, even when you take a step away. And hey, if you'll turn towards me, let me show you how I see this. Let me give you my perspective. So let's look at the word faithful. It actually means, by definition, loyal, constant, and steadfast. And again, the cool thing about God is that God is always faithful, even when we are not. Because we have our moments, right? Nobody has their moments. You ever have your moments of like, I believe you're faithful, but God, can I point out exhibit A, oh, and B, and sometimes there's C, right? You're like, ooh. God's like, it's good, I got this. Still God, still on the throne, right? I checked. I asked him this morning. He's still on the throne. Even when we grumble and complain, even when we think that he's forgotten us or we're focused on our disappointments, he doesn't back away and he's still faithful. And I, for one, as somebody who's done a lot of grumbling and complaining in my life, in different seasons where it just felt really overwhelming, I'm so thankful that he doesn't back away when I back away. Let's look at Psalm 145. I love this. It says, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule generation after generation. The Lord is faithful to all he says. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts up those bent beneath their loads. All eyes look to you for help. You give them their food as they need it. And when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. I remember for many years, and this will be many years ago because things really shifted for me, you know, many years ago. But I remember, you know, in the beginning of the 90s, walking with the Lord, but walking through such a difficult season that I literally felt like, if you could have characterized it, that every moment was me bent over under a weight, just hoping that I could make it to the light or that God would kill me so I could go home. Like I literally didn't have a perspective that life could be great. I was just like, I survived this and then I get to go home. That was the highest my hope ever got. You know, no matter how weighed down we feel by something, God's faithfulness can come and answer that. Not can, he wants to, he will. Right? I think sometimes the challenge is in the midst of believing that he's faithful, also not partnering with something that says you're a victim. Because I don't think the two work together very well. When we're trying to believe that he's faithful, but we feel like we're always the victim, you're kind of in the middle of a war. Does that make sense? And so I remember at one point, the Lord said to me, you are so defined by what you've been through. And I was. I was defined by survival. And when new bad things would come along, again, my thought was, I'll survive this too. It was never that I'll gloriously come out of this or be healed of anything. It was always just that I will survive it. And then one day I'll die and everything's going to be great. And that sounds like really trite, but that's literally how I lived. Right? And then the Lord said to me, listen, when you can partner with everything you've been through and your survival, or you can partner with who I am and my faithfulness and what I'm calling you into, but you can't agree with both. Now, this stuff was real. It was true. But I was so focused on the negative, I could never see anything that God had done through it. Does that make sense? So I think there's a challenge for us in the midst of believing that God is faithful to let go of every place where our hearts are actually partnering with being a victim rather than a victor. How many of you at this time of year, you look around at all the blossoms coming out and something inside of you goes, oh. Do you do that? Yes. I love this season. Now, my nose, not so much. My nose likes to, you know, be a little bit of a tap, but I love this season, and I think it's because my heart is reminded that even in the seasons where things look like they're dead and they're not moving, they're actually resting, and they're resting because they're going to grow bigger in the next season, right? When the winter is over, the winter is over, and we start to see life come back, and it just reminds my heart, oh, wow. In every area where it seems like, God, it doesn't seem like you're moving. It doesn't seem like anything is shifting. I can see that it's shifting for that person or that person, but kind of feels like, you know? And then I look at outside and I go, oh, all of creation will answer the shifting of seasons. Now, I told the first service, my tulips are very confused at the moment. They are. They're like, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. We don't know. And apparently they're going to get even more confused in a few days when it gets cold again. I know. But I think even that's true for us sometimes. Doesn't it feel like we're like, yay, breakthrough. Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, yay, breakthrough. Oh, I'm not sure. That's why I loved what Edie shared this morning about, hey, you remind whatever's coming up against you. No, actually, March 18th, baby. Something shifted, right? I think it's cool, actually. It's also funny. With a changing of seasons, usually there comes this whole thing that we don't love called pruning. Right? I'm not sure the trees like it either. I mean, I've been looking at everything that got pruned, ready to grow, and it doesn't look that happy right now. The good thing is no snakes can hide in my tree right now, so that's a good thing. But other than that, we had a snake this last year. It was terrifying. But this season of pruning that comes before the season of growth, often, again, we sort of go, everything feels really hard and really tight. And, you know, when you recognize you're in that season, recognize the next season is growth, right? That's what's coming. I do want to encourage you. I don't know if this is an encouragement, but sometimes growth takes a little longer than we think. Have you noticed that? When you're like, it's kind of like that thing where you get a prophetic word and 2 weeks later, if it hasn't happened, you're like, was that real? Did they hear from the Lord? It hasn't happened yet. Just not sure. I have some prophetic words that I got like 10 years ago that I'm just starting to see happen now. Right? But I've started gardening. I started last year. It was very exciting. I haven't done anything this year yet. But I have a lemon plant called Lemony Snicket. He has a name. I think he's a he. And I was so excited last August when it started flowering, because I was like, I'm going to have lemons any day now. Dude, the lemons that have come from those flowers, and there's probably 10 or 11 on this tree, are maybe about this size, but they're still green like limes. And apparently there's still going to be another couple months before they're actually Meyer lemons. It's taking forever. Have you ever noticed when you watch something, it always takes longer too, right? So you're like, grow. But we're doing that to ourselves too, aren't we? And then we're like, I don't see any progress in my life. I was trying to figure out how to speed up the process. And so I Googled, like, if I pick them and then shove them in the window, will they turn yellow faster? I don't know. I just wanted to check, you know, make sure I'm not like falling over on the job here. And they were like, oh, it might turn yellow, but it won't taste right. You won't ever get the sweetness, or it won't taste the way it's supposed to taste. But I think sometimes we want to do that too, right? We want to just pick the fruit because we're just like, that's it. I need fruit. Right? It's like, no. Why don't you wait until when it's actually ready, and then everything tastes the way it's supposed to taste. Yeah. We're not great at patience sometimes. I'll speak for myself. I'm not. I want everything to be fast, right? We're this fast food generation. We want everything fast. Some stuff doesn't grow fast. I'm going to read you this entire psalm. That sounds like a scary thing to do, but it's only like 10 verses, so it's going to be okay. I could have picked a longer one for you. Psalm 146 says, Hallelujah, O my soul, praise God. All my life long, I'll praise God, singing songs to my God as long as I live. Don't put your life in the hands of experts who know nothing of life, of salvation life. Mere humans don't have what it takes. When they die, their projects die with them. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and no real blessing. God made sky and soil, sea and all the fish in it. He always does what he says. He defends the wronged. He feeds the hungry. God frees prisoners. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up the fallen. God loves good people, protects strangers, takes the side of orphans and widows, and makes short work of the wicked. God's in charge always. Zion's God is good. Is God for good? Hallelujah. Right? In the NIV, that verse 6 says, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Isn't that cool? Listen, he is always faithful. And I know sometimes we hear things like that. And again, we look at things that are going on in our lives or our immediate circumstances. So we're like, I don't see faithfulness here with this. When am I going to see faithfulness? Have you ever noticed a lot of times we see stuff afterwards? We're like, oh God, you kept me. Oh God, actually you were being faithful. I just didn't realize you were turning the boat in a different direction. You know, when we're like, God, why hasn't this thing broken through yet? I remember this season where Alan and I were praying for a house, and we were like, you know, we had Abby, she was about a year old, and we really felt like the Lord had talked to us about having a house, and there was no way, we were seeing no movement, and I was just like, God, you know, where are you in the midst of that? And in the midst of all of that story, Gary and Sarah, God gives them a house, you know, and they didn't want a house. They were like, yeah, we're not praying for a house, we just live out of our suitcases, we love to travel. And I was like, hey! You gave them a house. They don't want a house. We want a house, blah, blah, blah. But if God had given us a house, we would not have been free to move to Nashville. But we didn't know that God was turning the boat. So I was frustrated by what I thought was a lack of movement. And God was like, no, you don't want that. you think you want that. I'm going to give you that someplace different. It's going to be way better. Right? This is from Psalm 36. It says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." I just kept thinking about just different times when the Lord has just been so faithful, and we all have those stories. Sometimes in the moment, we forget that we have them, though, don't we? Do you know the deal is, when we have stories of faithfulness and breakthrough, when we're in the tight spot, the deal is you remind yourself by looking back and saying, "He was faithful here. He was faithful here. He was faithful here. He'll be faithful here." Because it is who, that is who he is, right? He is who he says he is. I can see God's faithfulness in little ways. I can see God's faithfulness in my friend who 20-something years ago hijacked me and brought me to a church where I could get healed. I can see God's faithfulness that I never became an addict, which you may go, well, yeah, lots of us never did. Yeah, but I had two alcoholic parents. I have two cross-addicted siblings, and I was very badly abused, and I could have gone that way very easily. But I didn't. God kept me from it. I can see his faithfulness in the people that he's brought into my life, like John and Carol, like so many of you that are family for me. I remember, and it's funny, I was thinking about this morning. I remember a number of years ago, I had been going to counseling. This is probably like 95, 96. For about 2 years, I was meeting with two counselors every week. And I remember after being with them for 2 years, I may still need ministry for this moment as opposed to, but I remember meeting with them and they said, "We're not going to meet with you anymore." And I was like, "Oh, why?" And they said, "Because we don't believe that God can ever heal you." I know. So, yeah. And I remember just being like, what? Like, I was a ball of hurt. But I was like, I don't know how to process that information. And I remember going down and going to the church and just going up to Carol and saying, this is what was said. And she just turned around. She went like mama bear on me. She was like, "Absolutely no. I break those words off of you," and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, like, I was overwhelming my counselors. I was pretty messed up, right? God can heal anybody, right? He will. The thing is, he's no respecter of persons. He's not going to come and heal me and not heal you. That's not who he is. He's faithful. I was talking to somebody this morning that said, "I know you used to struggle with suicide and used to struggle with eating disorders, and I just need to know, is there hope for me?" Yes, there's hope for you. He's in the business. He's a great dad. It's what he longs to do. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself." I was thinking this morning as well about Tia when we first had Tia. Well, when we had Abby, she was super early and there's a whole bunch of stuff around that. But I remember she's literally out of the womb like, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours. I get to go and see her for the first time. And the nurse right away says, "She'll never breastfeed. You're never going to be, all of this stuff." And I was like, and Alan's like, "Yeah, we're going to go pray about those things right now, And it wasn't true. It all worked out fine, And then we had Tia and she also came early. And so she, jaundice or bilirubin was like super high. And we didn't do the Hep B shot. And we just felt like, this is not something we're going to do. And afterwards we found out and they were trying to pressure us to do it. But afterwards we found out, actually, if we'd done the Hep B shot with her bilirubin as high as it was, we would have pushed her over into where she could have gotten brain damage. Sometimes God's faithfulness is just that he goes, "Not today. Don't do that today." And you're like, "All right." And we don't realize that God is so orchestrating things for us because he's faithful, because he's a good dad and he knows. right? He knows stuff we don't even know.
What a shock.
I was sharing first service. It's kind of fun to share this with Tryphena here, but when Tia was born, she had a hole in her heart. And, you know, they said it's probably going to resolve itself and whatnot, come back in 3 months. And we come back in 3 months, and they're like, no, it's probably gotten a little bit bigger, but maybe it'll still resolve itself. And then we come back like 3 months later, and they're like, yeah, it should have really done something. It's not. She's going to need some sort of heart surgery before she's two. Which, as you can imagine, is what every parent wants to hear. So I was like, oh, wow, that's really bad. We're going to get a lot of prayer about this, right? And I remember we had dinner with Supresa on the Friday night that he was here. And I just said to him, hey, if I hand you my baby on Sunday, would you pray for her? And, of course, he was like, this is my Supresa imitation. Yes, yes, yes. It's the best I can do. And I was like, okay. So we gave him to him on Sunday morning, and he just held her all through worship. And he just worshiped and held her. And then at the end of worship, he handed her back, and he said, it is finished. And we were like, all right. So I was literally like, I'm going to go in on Wednesday. This is going to be so good. And so we show up on Wednesday, and this poor pediatric cardiologist was just like, she's doing the ultrasound. She's like, I promise you, there was a hole. There was a hole. And she's like, there isn't a hole. There's nothing there, you know? And we were so excited. We were like, yes. And she said, we told her, hey, we've taken her for prayer. Like, she got prayer, and we believe God's healed her. And she said, I believe that too, you know? And I was like, okay. And she said, I have seen things like this before. I was like, I bet you have. Welcome to the buckle of the Bible belt, honey. I was thinking, since we have so much time this morning, that we could read an entire psalm together. What do you think? Yes. So I've picked Psalm 117, here it is. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Isn't that cool? It's potentially the shortest psalm, I think. I like it, though. We could probably memorize a whole psalm. You could be like, I have an entire psalm memorized. I don't want to brag or anything, but behold. I was thinking about how in Exodus 36, it's talking about when the Lord passes in front of Moses, and he proclaims about himself, and God knows himself, just saying, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, right? It's in the definition of who he is when he says, I will show you who I am, that he is faithful, right? He's always faithful. If you look at Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think it's really interesting that when you think about when the Holy Spirit is working through us and bringing out the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things that that looks like is faithfulness, right? So as you and I become like the donor DNA, faithfulness rises up in us because we are carrying who he is. I sometimes wish that, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this in heaven, but I sometimes wish we could pull video on people like Joseph and stuff like that and see how they navigated all the trauma to get to the destiny part, right? Do you think they'll have video? I'm not sure. If they do, there's a bunch of things I want to see. But I often think, wow, if we could be on a fly on the wall, would we have, or a fly in their heart and being able to hear what was going on, would they have had moments where they went, this is feeling really difficult? I think they probably would have because they're human, right? But we hang on to God sometimes with both hands and our teeth, right? Because we have those moments. And we see the faithfulness of who he is. Again, because he can't be anything other than who he is. Here's what I want to do for just a second. I want you to ponder for a moment where you can identify God's faithfulness to you. Now, when you have your moment, I want you to find a person near you, and it can either be somebody you know or don't know, and I want you to share your moment of faithfulness, what you're remembering. And I know some of you, you can probably recall 50 million, and others of you might be like, oh, I'm in a really hard place. I'm struggling to find one. I want you to share your moment of faithfulness with the person next to you. We're just going to take like 5 minutes and share them, okay? Okay. So I'm going to put up a question for you. And it's something I want you to sort of chat with the Lord about this week. But I want to preface it with this. I don't believe that the Lord ever orchestrates anything that comes along with disease, sickness, death, disaster. None of those things are the Lord. Can we agree on that? The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? But he came that we would have life abundant. So here's my question. If that's true, and I believe it is, if today's troubles or challenges are just for a season, how could we live today differently to partner with growth? Right? Some of us may need to actually say, Lord, I need you to give me a change of perspective. Maybe you've lived very much like I was living and just thinking, I'm going to survive life and then get to the end. The Lord has so much for us in this life that is amazing. And we could miss it if we miss the fact that that's his heart towards us. Does that make sense? Right? So maybe it's a change of perspective. Or maybe it's just saying, okay, Lord, during this short season of whatever it is that I'm working through, okay, God, what do you want to do to make it look real different for me? Does that make sense? I love this passage. And actually, I want to kind of read it over you because it's a call to a changing of seasons. It's from the Song of Songs. And I feel like the Lord is literally calling our hearts to respond to a changing of seasons. I'll just read this over you. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines and blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. Father, I just speak a changing of seasons right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that even as we see it in the natural outside, would you remind our spirits that you are at work in our lives and you are bringing breakthrough. You are bringing change. Lord, would you grow in us all that you want to grow in us? God, would you help us with any place where we're impatient because it feels like it's taking a really long time? Wow. Lord, would you help us to stay partnered with you, partnered with your spirit and what you're doing and your timing? And would you give us hope that the season is changing and that the breakthrough is coming? Yeah. I wonder if you'd repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my yes again today. I trust you with my current circumstances. I trust you with my current challenges. And I acknowledge that you are on the move in my life and things are shifting. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Yay.